Hello, what's up? How's it going, mate?
It's going good. You sound really dull.
Yeah, it's the energy from last year when I was like singing that little tune. It's different because you know what? Today, it's not about friendly catch-ups, right?
It isn't. No. It's about a serious topic. Yeah. Well, I just made it sound like we're going to talk about something really, really serious.
Life and death. Let's go really morbid this week.
Oh my god, let's just depress everyone.
Yeah, everyone, our 15 listeners. Okay, so how is it going? What's up? What's happening? You said you had a bombshell to drop. I'm waiting.
I did. Okay. I just got my back exfoliated.
Wow, that was the bombshell?
That was the bombshell.
What the hell? I was expecting something like, yeah, I, you know, broke a leg or I had a baby yesterday.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So what do you even mean back exfoliator? What does that even mean?
I got a back exfoliator. I got someone to do it for me, and yeah, I am here with a really stingy back.
What is exfoliating consist of? Just scrubbing.
A lot of scrubbing.
So basically, scrubbing, the bombshell was, I washed my back today.
Never done that before.
So. It's hard to reach, to be fair.
Man, I can't remember the last time I had a proper back clean.
Oh shit! Have you ever seen that thing where people do the cupping on their back? Have you seen that?
I have. I don't know. What do you want to do? Hijama here?
Oh, hijama.
I don't know. I don't buy into that stuff. Yeah. It just looks really, really weird.
Yeah, I don't trust anything that rhymes with pajama. So
you don't trust pajamas either.
Yeah, I don't get the deal with them. Just sleep in your underwear. I don't really get it.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Comfort. None of the business.
Yeah. So
the hangy business.
So what? So hijama, so basically it just sucks blood out, right?
Yeah. And everyone thinks it's supposed to have some healing properties when all you're doing is just drawing blood to the skin.
Yeah, isn't it like you know, homeopathy and all that? Would that be considered under that kind of like branch of medicine?
I think this is more ancient and I don't know. Just
witch doctors.
Homeopathy is just witch doctors. Yes, that's what it is.
It's like witch doctors, medicine. Isn't it? Yeah. I get that. I'm down with
Pretty
that.
Pretty strange.
To be honest, I know loads of people. I mean, especially in our culture, like in Pakistan and everything, I feel like that's big, homeopathy and everything. The kind of like concept of like doing different things will kind of like, you know, heal different things. I don't know. Oh, if you're sick, have this with this, and then that will heal you or some shit.
I think, and people just don't trust
doctors.
Traditional allopathic, medicinal routes.
Which
I think is so dumb. Like, that's the only known way of curing anything.
What, like actual medicine?
Actual medicine, actual
obviously.
Back medicine. Has homeopathy ever cured an illness from this face of the earth? When has it done that?
But
never.
Is it the same thing? Is homeopathy the same thing as, like, let's say I have a sore throat? Obviously, there's medicine you can take, like, you know, syrups and stuff with paracetamol, obviously, painkillers to kind of like sore. I mean, it makes your throat feel better. Or could you just drink honey and lemon tea? Is honey and lemon tea considered like a homeopathic kind of like solution to it?
I don't think so. I think that would be more of a home remedy.
Yeah, that's
homeopathy.
I thought that was home remedies.
No. Homeopathy is it's like an entirely different pseudoscience where they have this extract and they dilute it in water and they dilute it so much that in the end all you have is like one molecular part per a quart of a water molecule. Water compound. And it just does nothing. It's basically taking a paracetamol and diluting it in the sea and then saying, okay, here, have a cup and this will heal you.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's about active ingredients and nonsense. I've been through that route. I mean, I had this serious case of dermatographia. I still do. And my mum made me go through years of discomfort, but just because she thought, you know, traditional medicine would just have so many side effects, you shouldn't have them, especially when you're young. So let me just take you to this homeopathy doctor. And I was, for 2 years, I was just, it was hell. I couldn't put a shirt on.
When was this?
This is definitely before O-levels, yeah. So you were here.
Oh, wow. You didn't tell me.
I think I did. Remember I told you, like, if I sort of mark my skin with something, it's just going to, these hives are going to pop up and it's just going to swell up and shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Nobody understood what it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, we didn't understand what you were talking about. We just thought you were just, like, making it up. We're like, oh, yeah, drama queen. Yeah.
No, man, even now, if I don't take my medication, it gets really, really bad.
Oh, you still have medication for it?
Yeah, I have to take one every 3 days.
Damn. Wow, you learn something new every day.
And
now...
pain in the ass. And you look up this is what pisses me off. You look up dermatographia, and everyone's just treating it like skin drawing, and this really quirky thing, and it's a mutation, and it's fun to have, and nobody knows why it happens. And it's just, you know, it's nice, it's okay, it's harmless. What they don't tell you is how much of a pain in the ass it can be if you don't take medicine for it.
Wow.
Because your body treats every contact, either it's with like a bed linens or with a shirt or even like a touch, as an allergic reaction.
Wow, shit. I mean, I know all about allergies. I have none. I have no allergies at all. And to be honest, I've never met anyone before I met my fiance who had allergies.
Really?
Allergic. She's allergic to a lot of things. And I don't know, I just never thought of it as a thing before I met her, because she's allergic to a couple of fruit, some nuts, like peanuts is a bad one, but she's also allergic to like walnuts and hazelnut, not almonds. She can eat almonds, cashews, and pistachios, but everything else she's allergic to.
What I'm curious is, how did she find out that she's allergic to all of these things? Was it like a
trial and error? It's literally trial and error.
But aren't like some of these nut allergies just really, really deadly? Like,
yeah.
They can be really dangerous.
Yeah, like the peanut one, that's really deadly. But she discovered that when she was quite young, her face started swelling up and like her throat was closing and she was taken to the hospital.
Geez.
Yeah. But I mean, as in like, it closes your air passages, but if you have like an EpiPen or something, it'll kind of like calm it down. So if you just have it, and you don't do anything about it, that's deadly. But there's loads of allergies where it either makes her like skin itch, or like it makes her eyes itch, or like, you know, just makes her nauseous. There's loads of things, like sesame makes her really nauseous, coconut, oh yeah, it's crazy, man. Kiwis, peaches.
Kiwis, I love kiwis.
Yeah, she can't have them. It would make her nauseous.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, so are you lactose intolerant?
Me? No, I'm not lactose intolerant. Neither is she.
I've become lactose intolerant.
Why? You're not drinking enough dude?
I don't know what happened. I mean, I used to have a lot of milk. Now I just can't drink it. My stomach just gets all weird.
I feel like that is a thing. Like, if you don't have something for long enough, then your body will just, you know, develop an aversion to it, right? Or is that a thing? Or is that not how allergies work?
I have no idea.
I don't know how allergies work, man. It's like, you either give something to a baby, it develops an allergy. If you don't give something to a baby, it develops an allergy. The human body is weird, man. It's crazy.
What if it's like a genetic mutation where your body just can't handle certain things?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think allergies are genetic mutations.
Hmm.
I mean, intolerance to lactose, that is a genetic thing. Obviously, your body can't break down. It's like being diabetic or something. You know, you don't have the hormone to break down a certain thing. And, you know, that causes some trouble. But even people, I know one other person who's lactose intolerant, and she basically just gives her gas and makes her kind of like a bit bloated and gross.
It's the same with me. Yeah. I get gas and, you know, all the sort of stomach business going.
Yeah. The thing is, I might be lactose intolerant. I might be allergic to a lot of things. But the thing is, I just power through it. I just, like, if something makes me ill, I just don't learn. I just keep having it. It's like when I come to Pakistan, I know certain things are going to make me sick, but I will just eat literally everything that's presented in front of me. Every food opportunity I get, I stuff in my mouth, because I'm a big foodie, especially in Pakistan. I just love food, man.
It tastes well as well, so you just can't resist it.
Exactly. You know what? You know what's a really important thing?
No.
The universe. Am I right?
That's a shit. That's a massive... I was wondering how we were going to get to the topic.
See, I told you. Like, I said... To be honest, we didn't introduce ourselves. We didn't do anything.
I just told you about my my back exfoliation. Yeah. You just went on a tangent.
So, I'm Hamza.
Are you?
Yeah, and you
and
are.
I'm Ramesh.
Yeah. And now the first 10 minutes, cut it all.
Cut it all, get it out of here.
But yeah,
don't need it.
I mean, I really enjoy talking about the universe, and I know it's a topic that interests you quite a lot as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't have any formal education on it. It's just more of a like an interest-based education.
Yeah.
Where you read up on things because you're interested in it, and it's crazy when you find out that not a lot of people, even after they're sort of, you know, gone through the educational system, they just don't know about these things, or the interest just never develops. So it's nice to sort of finally get down and talk to things that have boggled my mind. And
it's the thing is, you know, these kind of things, the universe, everything that exists, everything that we exist, like, you know, that we know exists as we know it on Earth, like matter, yeah, everything that we can see, touch, feel, taste, that only, and I'm talking about not only on Earth, but the stars, the planets and everything, that's only 5% of what's out there. You know, think about that. It's 5% of everything that we know in the universe is 5% of what's actually out there. The rest of it is dark matter and dark energy.
Yeah.
Imagine
it's
that.
It's crazy. It's really, really... Because the thing I've sort of learned over the years is that we're not really good at understanding numbers. So you can probably imagine like 100,000, right? Because you've seen stadiums being filled with 100,000 people, maybe 500,000 people at some political rally or something. So we're good at imagining that sort of a number. As soon as you hit a million, we can't visualize that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then billions. And then you realize the Milky Way alone, where our solar system is, has billions and billions of stars. And then, you know, tens and hundreds of billions of planets. And then that's just the one cluster of a galaxy among billions in itself, and you're just like, what? None of that makes any sense anymore.
That's the thing. It's so vast, and it's we can't comprehend it, and that's why people don't talk about it. People don't, you know, it's not a topic that a lot of people go like, know or have an understanding of. I mean, I'm sure we both don't have a sufficient understanding of anything. You know, the smartest person on Earth wouldn't have a complete understanding of everything, because we just don't know, our minds can't comprehend. And you said, obviously, like billions and billions and billions of stuff that we can see that people are aware of, and that, back to my point, is only 5% of what we know. So it's just so huge, so vast, that it's scary. It's a scary thought. I whenever I think about it, I go down this kind of like wormhole, pun intended, of like, you know, it just goes deeper and deeper, and I just keep looking into stuff. Like, I start with one topic, oh, why is this, and then it just, like, we were talking about how we can just binge on YouTube, and I like these sciencey universal kind of like videos talking about, you know, relativity and space-time and everything. I can just keep looking into that, because you can never get enough information. It's like saying, you know, you want to learn addition, so it's like 2 plus 2, 4. Okay, you know, you're a master of addition now. You know exactly ins and outs of it, yeah? But with topics like these, it's just never-ending. And I always find myself, when I watch these videos or learn something, I like, especially with topics like these, I like writing them down, just because I know I'm going to forget, and I'm going to need to kind of like, I like reminding myself of these. So I write them down, and then you literally, it's just pages and pages and pages of it, and I still can't comprehend it. And I just need to look at it like, oh, hold on a second, I still don't understand anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's too much. It's just too much information.
Yeah. What do you understand about dark matter and dark energy?
Well, that's the funny thing about it. I don't think anyone understands it yet. Like, there's not knowing enough related to any particular field, like you said. Like, you just can't understand everything, you can't know about everything, and then there's actually not knowing about a certain thing at all, and nobody knows about it. So I think dark matter and dark energy fall into those categories for now. But I think what we would, a way to sort of a way to approach this would be to sort of know what it isn't rather than what it is.
Yeah.
So we do know that it doesn't emit or reflect light at all. So it's a particle. It's material of some sort that exists, as the name would suggest, because 70% of the known universe is just filled with it. Dark energy, and then 25% with dark matter.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but
the reason why we can't detect or see it is because it just doesn't interact with light in any way that we know.
That's a very important topic about light itself, because everything we can see reflects light, and that's how we learn about something. Obviously, we see it, we touch it, we feel it, we taste it. That's how we learn as human beings about it. So there's loads of, I mean, coming on to like, you know, elementary particles, even those, you know, the light exists in a form where even elementary particles don't reflect light. So we can't understand those as well. So we do what we can and just like try to fill in the gaps with like different theories and assumptions. And I think that's filling in the gaps is an important thing, because that's what I feel dark matter and dark energy does. It just fills in the gaps, right? That's what we have it there for. It's like, okay, put a name to it. We don't know exactly what it is. We can't see it. It doesn't interact with light. So all we can do is like say, this thing exists here and it has certain things that we know. We can kind of assume from behavior that we've kind of like observed around it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So when it comes to sort of fundamental particles, are you familiar with neutrinos?
I don't know much about it. I know that they are a particle. But neutrinos exist alongside, I mean, that's not the, there's like, I don't know, I want to say hundreds of different particles, or do we know that there's like a handful of them or something?
So what, are you talking about the cosmological constants?
I have no idea, to be honest. tell me about a neutrino.
Okay, so neutrinos, they're formed within suns, different sort of in supernovas and hypernovas, and when sort of suns collapse and form into neutron stars, that's when they're released. So they, for the longest time, scientists sort of, you know, were puzzled as to something must emerge from the sun in the form of some sort of particle. Just didn't know what it was, and they just had no way of detecting it either. But they knew it was going to be a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Like, just now that we know and have the calculations, we can tell that there's around, what is it, 60 billion neutrinos in every centimeter square.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're passing through us, through your head, through my head, through everything, through the earth, all the time. They don't interact with anything. But then every so often, one of them sort of slows down enough or interacts with some sort of thing, and we see a bright flash of light that's produced, or gamma radiation that's produced, and that's how we know it's of its existence. So people sort of confuse dark matter with neutrinos. That might just be that. People also confuse it with black holes.
Mm.
It might just be that.
Because
that's the thing about black holes and dark matter. They both, because they don't interact with light, dark matter, well, black holes, they sort of absorb light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dark matters don't, it have nothing to do with light. But they both have a play on gravity, so which is why people tend to confuse those two, especially when sort of out there learning about it for the first time. What do you think? What do you think it might be?
Well, dark...
Closest... Dark matter,
dark
stuff. The closest sort of correspondence to anything that we know.
I don't know. I think the thing is, as far as my understanding goes, I feel like... So, everything revolves around gravity, all right? I feel like gravity literally is the playing field that the whole universe exists on, right?
Yeah.
It's like this platform where, you know, it basically takes control of a lot of stuff. So I feel like, you know, and as we know from our existence and like, you know, how physics works on Earth, that there's always something to counteract another thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like one thing exists, there's always going to be an opposing thing, as you know, one of Newton's laws states, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction kind of thing. So it's like, as gravity exists, there's going to be something that opposes it. So that's what I feel dark energy is, you know? That's the reason why the universe is expanding rather than falling in, you know, towards itself, moving closer. Because gravity, if you think about gravity, it's like, you know, matter is basically, it basically warps gravity in a way that, you know, things being pulled towards each other, right? So why is the universe still expanding? It's because of dark energy, you know? It's an opposing thing to gravity. It's, you know, counteracting, and it's like kind of like moving far and far apart from each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, there's this wonderful video to sort of visualize how gravity works in space. I think you must have seen it. It's very popular on YouTube now, where this sort of scientist, he's having this demonstration on a trampoline, and he places a bowling ball and then sort of throws different sort of cue balls around it, and they're like going around it. They're never interacting with it. Some point they do when they lose enough energy. That doesn't really apply to space because it, you know, doesn't really have that friction to work with. But yeah, that's so the heavier the object is, the more gravity
it
would sort of...
Exactly. Yeah, the bigger the mass is, the more it warps space around it. And that is the gravitational force. Because, I mean, it still... Is gravity a force? Does it exist as, like, you know, a stage that which all mass is placed on? It's such a weird thing. And that's why we still haven't explained the, like... I don't know. Obviously, this doesn't exist, but the gravity particle. Do you know what I mean? We haven't
gravitron.
Explained. Yeah, I was gonna say gravitron. The gravitron. Gravitron. The gravitron. Do you know what I mean? It's just so like.
Yeah.
And I think that's what string theory was trying to do, right? Explain the gravity particle. But it just didn't fit into our model of, like, you know, point particles. Or some shit like that. I don't even understand. I don't understand how gravity exists. How anything exists. Do you know what I mean? It's so weird.
Well, like philosophically or scientifically?
Both. I mean, like, obviously in science we can only explain so much. In philosophy, I mean, how did this all come to being? How do I have existence? How do I have, like, consciousness? Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. And then back to, like, what we were talking about. A while back about, like, how religion then fills in the... That's the thing. We have religion filling in some, like, philosophical gaps, and then, like, theoreticists and physicists filling up some, like, scientific gaps. There's no facts. I feel like even in science, obviously, we can only see so much, so that we can only have a few, you know, a limited number of facts. The things we can't see, we fill up with theories. And same with religion, the philosophies and everything that we can't explain, I mean, most of it we can't explain, we just fill up with religion. You know, so how do you know anything is real? You know,
yeah, I think, but this is where they sort of differentiate as well, science and religion, because religion's just making guesses, like trying to make educated guesses. Science used to do that, but now they experiment and they try to replicate those experiments over so many different areas and so many different times, and then they sort of reach a conclusion. Okay, so all of those corroborate to this one point, so it must be true. Religion doesn't do that. They don't have a testing mechanism, and philosophy as well doesn't have a testing mechanism. The only mechanism is to test it, and then there's so many variables that you realize it could be, you know, just doesn't hold up anymore, if it does, it's the end of the world, because some philosophical factors just are to do with worldly things.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But that's what I'm saying, even in science, we can only test so much. Do you know what I mean? It's like, things we can see is like having blueprints to a rubber dinghy, yeah? Say you have blueprints to a rubber dinghy, and you're trying to build, a cruise ship. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
In principle, they'll do the same thing. Like, they're similar properties, right? They have a lot of things in similar. They're floating devices, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's loads of things missing. Like, you know, a rubber dinghy doesn't have an engine, or, like, you know, the vast structure, or, like, you know, the capacity, materials are all different. So that's what we're trying to do with science, especially when it comes to, like, dark energy and, like, stuff we can't explain completely, like gravity, you know, the gravitron and everything. We have blueprints of a rubber dinghy, but we're trying to build a cruise ship. Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. I'm just thinking about it. So, okay.
Yeah.
We've discussed a lot of things that, you know, science and everything, but going back to dark energy and dark matter, why is it even important to figure it out? Why do you think it's even worth spending anyone's time over it? Why can't we just sort of end it at, oh, we don't understand it. Okay, whatever.
The thing is, when we look into stuff we don't know, we answer questions of stuff we didn't expect to find out. Do you know what I mean? So in the process of finding out one thing, we'll find out loads of other things. And I think that's what human nature does, isn't it? We just kind of, like, want to keep finding out more. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, this exists, and we're going to leave it as is. Because we just want to keep finding out. Different things, yeah?
Yeah, the more you find out, the more questions you have, and then you
end up finding out more things. Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I think, anyway. It's an interesting kind of thing. It just keeps going down, and we can't... That's what the whole concept of the theory of everything kind of like comes to play, isn't it? It's like we want a theory that explains everything, and that's
everything,
what...
Everything, yeah. I think we're going to get to that point when we understand, or sort of we've quantified everything. Not even understand it, even if we sort of mark down every single thing in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, this exists. Because right now, what are they, like 26, 29 cosmological constants? And then there's every few years is like one more addition or two more additions. I think when we have like a complete list of everything that makes up the universe, that'll be like a good point to sort of, okay, how do we fit all of this in to explain everything?
But that's impossible. Do you know why? Because the universe is expanding, you know, constantly. So, and stuff is being filled in. And I don't know. I mean, do you know, that's what I feel like dark energy is, the purpose of dark energy as well, to fill in the gaps of like the expanding universe. Universe is expanding. Things are happening in between spaces where new things are happening and we can't even keep up. Like the time it takes for light to travel, and get to us, in that time, loads of things have changed. You know, what we see as the universe is now to our eyes isn't what it is at this moment of time. Do you know what I mean? So like the sun, I think the light of the sun takes, take like 20 minutes to get to us?
I think it's 8 minutes, yeah.
It's 8 minutes. So I was exactly double the time. It takes 8 minutes to get to us, yeah? So we see the sun 8 minutes into the past. So if the sun explodes, yeah, it'll take us 8 minutes to find out.
Exactly. And that's just the sun. It's still
That's the sun. Exactly. It's relatively near. And things that are, you know, millions of miles away, we can't even fathom what's happening right now at this point, a moment of time. And the thing, I keep saying time, but there's no such thing as absolute time either. You know, time is affected by gravity. So
And great distances as well.
Exactly.
Which have an effect on gravity.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I think time travel has already been discovered in a way. I mean, there's no way for us to sort of experience it, but I know it does exist.
Yeah.
Because when you look up at the sky, you see Arcturus or Sirius or any of those, you know, really, really big stars in the sky. And they're like, what, ranging from 12 to 75 to 200 or 300 light years away? So that's basically light that's coming from 300 years ago, or 75 or 35 or 12, 10.
So you're
looking into the past. So a great party trick for, you know, that I try to employ... We're telling people is, if you were to be on a sun that's, say, I don't know, 25 light years away, or on a planet, and you can have a powerful enough telescope, and you're looking back at Earth, you would see your own birth if you were 25 years old at that point. You would see yourself being born, and the world would be 25 years in the past.
Yeah,
and if it's like a 200 million light year away star, you could look back and see dinosaurs on the Earth. We just wouldn't exist. And I think that's also why aliens just haven't realized that we exist as well. They're just looking back at what, bacteria being involved in the sea.
I feel like aliens, what's your take on aliens? I feel like they definitely exist, but
same.
It's depends like on... a matter of how advanced they are. If they were, thing is,
exactly,
there's like different levels of things existing in space, because I feel like there's the concept of a very powerful being out there who doesn't even acknowledge our existence is like a far end of the spectrum. You know, like how we cut down trees for fuel or whatever, and we don't really consider, like, let's say, insects living around the tree. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't occur to us. It doesn't feel like we're harvesting, you know, we're destroying someone's home. That's what I feel like if an alien race existed out there that was super advanced that we can't even imagine, they would harvest the Earth's resources without even thinking twice. And that's a scary thought. But then there's obviously, if the alien race is behind us in a way, like there's a time, you know, they haven't reached our kind of like intellect level, which, I mean, that might be possible, because, I mean, it'll be impossible to kind of see what's happening on the other side of the universe. Do you know what I mean? And if we do see it, it won't be a current time. It'll be something, as you said, in the past.
Exactly. But I also think, because the universe is pretty much in its infancy right now. What, it's only 13.4 billion years old.
Yeah.
That's nothing for what the timeline is supposed to be on trillions and trillions of years until the final black hole dies out.
Yeah.
It's
a
big, big time. And we're just here. So I think aliens and evolution and people coming and animals being, you know, born in different areas and different planets, I think it's more of a consequence and an eventuality rather than, oh, could it be, you know? Start possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is definitely. And I feel like there might be as another kind of like possibility of, let's say, like a living race can only exist a certain amount of time. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we have evidence of, you know, rivers on Mars or whatever, and this is just like our next door, you know, planet next door. There's like loads of planets that are similar to Earth in a lot of ways, but you know, obviously we haven't kind of like, you know, made contact or whatever on what might be living there or what possibly did live there in the past. That's the thing, that I feel like if there were alien races, that they ceased to exist, you know, well before we even started. Do you know what I mean? So there's, it's a constant cycle of something living being, you know, created, evolution, we get to this point. If that's true, we're probably nearer the end of our life cycle of human race rather than, you know, the early stages, rather than the end of that kind of like the step that we can't, you know, cross. And I feel like loads of alien races have then, you know, tried to cross it, but then have, you know, died out in the process. So I think that's...
Yeah, what if that's also like a progressional consequence where a being evolves to a point where they have consciousness and they start to build things, utilize tools, make weapons to kill each other, and then they make that final ultimate weapon, they get into war, kill everyone, evolution stops.
Yeah, or like, you know, just even wiping out resources on our own planet, do you know what I mean?
We can't. Yeah, yeah.
And that's it, that's how, again, a race will die out. And I feel like that's what happened to us, and maybe that's happened in the past, we don't know. Do you know what I mean? That's crazy to think
that.
It's so crazy.
Would you want to... What if somebody gave you a ticket or like some sort of a chamber for you to sit in, and they said, okay, so this is like a cryogenic chamber. You can sort of come out at different intervals for a day or two. You can go back in and you can survive millions and millions of years. Would you want to do that?
Nah, fuck that, man.
Exactly.
No, hell no. Exactly.
I wouldn't either.
Nobody wants to.
I'm really curious to know what would happen, but I don't want to experience it firsthand.
Yeah, it's like that concept of immortality. No way, man. That sucks.
I mean, seeing everyone you like die, and then you form new relationships, and they die as well, and you're like, "Why am I alive?"
Yeah, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to grind for that long. Like, I'm only 25, and I'm just like tired of it already.
There's this movie called Age of Adeline. You should watch it.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
The concept's a bit weird, but yeah. But,
mate, do you know what I find weird? Blake Lively.
Okay, weird as in you like her, and she's really, really weird, or.
No, she's alright. I imagine she's an okay actress or whatever. But I feel like she's an okay person. But I don't think I've seen a Blake Lively film that is, you know, interesting.
I can't remember of a film in which she was acting besides this one.
Yeah, that's the thing. But she's such a big name for some reason. I don't get it. I really don't understand. Maybe she's an alien. Another point. I feel like, what if aliens... I mean, there's like some sort of like observation of humans. What if we're just like a test experiment? Do you know what I mean? That's
what if it's a simulation?
Yeah. No, I mean, not even as in, obviously, what we're doing right now on planet Earth, you know, let's say we have consciousness and we're not like in a tube, test tube or something, and this is just like a mental simulation, but an actual kind of like simulation, physical simulation, where, you know, we've been planted on Earth or whatever, they've been like observing, oh, how do they evolve, or what do they do next, or do you know what I mean? That kind of concept of like an observation, like that's really scary. And I feel like there's people on Earth who have been like planted by aliens just to kind of like monitor on ground level, and I feel like Blake Lively could be that alien.
Could be one of those, yeah. Could be one of those chief invigilators, and, just to keep a check.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really weird concept as well. I don't know.
So you're basically suggesting that it might be Rick Sanchez's microverse.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly like that, man.
Someone's just powering their car battery with us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a hilarious episode of how it just keeps going in and in.
To a teeny-verse and then a micro-teeny-verse.
So funny. I love that concept. And the thing is, I love the concept of parallel universes anyway. You know, he has that parallel universe gun. That different kind of like things exist at the same time. They're running at the same time. And that's why I feel like time travel would... you know, obviously time travel, there's a whole paradox of like if you go back or into the future, how things change. But I feel like if you go back or the future, the timeline then changes. As in like you're on a different timeline. You're in a parallel universe. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if you go back in time, you won't be able to come forward to your universe. You'll come forward in a different parallel universe. You know, like in Back to the Future where he goes back, and then he changes something and then... when he goes back to the future, it's all different. He's in a parallel universe, isn't it? It's a universe that didn't exist before, and he just like is skewed off. Do you know what I mean? So everything exists side by side. There's like multiple versions of me, multiple versions of you, and they're all existing side by side. And you know, we can't obviously access that because they exist in a different kind. You need to go through some sort of like, you know, portal or dimension or maybe wormhole to access different realities.
Do you think all your versions find Blake Lively weird?
I would hope so. I'd be really disappointed if they didn't, to be honest.
What if in one parallel universe, Blake Lively is like the most interesting person in the world and has like every film of hers is like an Oscar nominated role? And then then that version of Hamza would just be mental.
Yeah, I'd want to go into that. If I could travel into different, you know... it's so weird. I feel like if they exist, if an infinite versions of me exist, it's like one version. It'd be something so stupid as well. Like one version of me doesn't like to eat sandwiches, you know? One version of me prefers to eat McDonald's every day. You know, it's like stupid stuff like that. But that's possibilities. That's the thing. We can't prove that's not the case. You know what I mean? How can we prove that? We can't do any like scientific tests. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, guess what?
What?
It's 37 minutes in.
Oh my god, we've gone over time again.
Honestly, it's just too long. It's just, we could have talked about space time and more into like time travel and everything.
Oh. I would really love an episode on time travel because there's a show that I watched. It's called Dark. It's a German show.
Oh yeah.
Dude, you need to watch it.
Oh, is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yeah. And it's all the rage these days.
Oh, is
it? Yeah, it's in German, but it's entirely about time travel and the grandfather paradox and the bootstrap paradox. And they've done it so well. Like, you'll forget every other movie or show that's done time travel.
You know what?
And,
I love a good paradox. Go on.
So you need to watch that.
You had me at paradox, mate.
and we could do an episode on that. What do you think?
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll binge it and then we'll talk about it. And whoever's listening needs to binge that show as well. All 15 of you.
Otherwise, I forgot there's only 15 people listening.
Don't tell the audience that. There's hundreds of you.
Yeah, exactly. Thousands.
Okay.
Weren't we trending number one on Spotify last week?
We actually were. We were actually trending. So if you're not
sure... Joe Rogan wants to be on.
Yeah. Nah, fuck Joe. Well, loser. To be honest, I've been listening to Joe Rogan podcast. They're nothing like ours, man. Ours is way better. It's because, like, the thing is, once you're committed, you'll just keep listening to it. Once you get, like, a million, listeners... They're sheep, you know what I mean? They just keep listening till, even if it's not interesting, they're just like, whatever, we'll listen to it.
I think his greatest pull is just the guests he has coming on. Once we have guests coming on,
man, mate, the numbers are going to go way guests. Up. We're going to have, like, Shazib. Oh, I know. Yeah. When we talk about religion, we can just add him, because he loves it. He goes crazy for it.
That or the different spectrums of orientation.
Yeah, whenever I come over, he just sprinkles me with holy water. I really don't understand why, but he just always does.
I really hope he's listening.
Yeah.
This one's for you, Shazay. This episode's for you.
Do you think he listens? He doesn't listen. He hates us, man. Imagine.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. After if he messages us after this comes out, then we know.
Exactly.
Let's wind up. Let's tie down. Good sesh. Thank you, Ramesh. And once again, I'm Hamza. this is Ramesh. If you didn't know, introductions in the end of the podcast. This time, mixing it up. Wild card. Yeah. You know?
He's Hamza. Yeah. And I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Well, for now, let's just end it.
Okay, yeah, we'll end it. And, oh, what? Mate, we forgot about Twabber!
Yeah, I think it's a bit too late for that. I was thinking about Twabber.
Yeah. What do you think about
Let's just leave it for next week. I've only got one, so I'm hoping to build on it in this week.
Oh, we just keep teasing people. You're teasing me as well, man.
It's worth the wait. I mean, people want to know what pisses me off.
Yeah, people want to know, what is on Ramesh's mind, you know? Okay. All right, good sesh. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please continue listening, because, I mean, you know, if you're enjoying it, continue, you know, keep it up. Add us on Spotify. If you don't have Spotify, we have it on YouTube as well. I try real hard to get that super cool animation of the logo coming up and down on the YouTube video. It's really cool. Go check it out. It's like the most editing I've ever done in my life, and I was really proud of it. So please go on it, comment on it, and how good the graphic looks.
Okay. Follow us on Instagram. You know, everyone just... everyone's got an Instagram.
You were going to be like, follow us on Instagram, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I was, yeah. But then I realized our mums are following that page, and I don't really want to hear this. I swear.
Yeah. My mum is like the number one listener. She's always like, oh, send me the link. A couple of my friends' mums, they've been loving it. They're like, oh, we can tell you topics to talk about. I'm like, mate,
that's
you guys
amazing.
Are on it.
We've just gathered a demographic that I didn't even know was there.
Exactly. We are for all ages. 0 to 100. Am I right? Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll be back next week. We've definitely already made this a regular thing. 3 weeks in a row. Just kidding. The first one was like about a month ago, but YOLO. keep listening. We'll be back next week. And thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.